Morning, everyone. So good to be with you on this, our very first Sunday together of 2023. I hope that in the two or so weeks that we haven't been together, you've all been well rested, you've all been well fed, some of us maybe a little too well, and that you are raring to get this new year going. I'm sure that many of you have resolved to do great things in God in 2023. I'm sure you've resolved to do these great things for the Lord. And so we come together here at the start of the year to celebrate that. But don't you find that these outlooks that we have on the new year, the outlook that we have on life, can be quite fickle? I find for me that my hopefulness for this journey of life, my hopefulness even for a new year, can change quite quickly based on the situation that I find myself in. And that's exactly how it was for me these last 2 years. I'll only share with you what happened most recently. My wife, Chandra, and I went down to Cape Town to visit her dad. We went with our daughters. And for those of you who've been to Cape Town, it is so, so beautiful. We spent time at the beach. Just picture it, beautiful white sand beaches. The waters are a perfect mixture of turquoise and dark blue. And on days when the wind doesn't blow, the sea is as still as glass. We hiked in a place called the Helderberg Nature Reserve. And it's, in my opinion, in one of the most beautiful valleys on earth in Somerset West. We went up Table Mountain. We went up the cable car. And when we were up there, we had these beautiful panoramic views of the city on one side and of Camps Bay and Clifton and the surrounding mountains on the other side. We even spent a day at the West Coast National Park near Tulungabaan, a place that is so beautiful, you would literally find it on the cover of a Getaway magazine. And that's not even to mention the time we spent in the beautiful winelands of the Elgin Valley. And so if you ask me before the thing happened on my holiday, the thing, I would have told you that I felt rested. I would have told you that my outlook for 2023 was super positive, that I was pumped. And then, one morning, I was lying on my bed, right near the end of my holiday, and my wife, Chandra, had borrowed her dad's car to go out to the shops, to the mall. And as I was lying there, I got a phone call from her very shortly after she left. I looked at my phone and I thought, uh-oh. I answered the phone and she began speaking very slowly. "Babe, I don't want you to worry. I'm okay. But you need to come outside right now, because I've bumped my dad's car." Now, you know what that is code word for, right? There's an image that flashed through my mind as she said this to me. And maybe for those of you who are Lord of the Rings fans, this will mean something. One must know that a bump is never simply a bump. When someone tells you it's a bump, it is always worse than they initially make it out to be. And so when Chandra said to me, "Mike, it's a bump," I went out, it wasn't a bump. All I'll say is this, and I have her permission to share this, by the way. All I'll say is this: the car was undrivable. It had to be towed away. And there is a street light pole in Gordon's Bay that will never be the same again. And it's amazing how small, relatively small things like this have the capacity to take me out of all the rest that I've had for the previous days. They have this capacity to get me into a high stress mode so quickly. And reflecting on it, I realized that I can be quite fickle in how I let the situations that I face in life impact how I enjoy the journey of life. So one of my major reflections for this new year, or the things I want to take to God and focus on, is that I would be able to trust God in my life, even in those small, seemingly mundane things, that He's protecting me and keeping me through those things. And knowing that, believing it, holding on to it will help me to enjoy the journey of life and of faith all the more in 2023. Well, I wonder this morning what some of your reflections have been on the past year, on 2022, because at this time of the year, that's what we do, isn't it? We reflect on the last year and we plan ahead. I wonder what some of your dreams, your desires, your hopes are for 2023. I wonder what your outlook is on the new year. I wonder where you've been. You might be this morning, you might be very, very excited as you sit here, because the new year offers a new start, doesn't it? It's only one more calendar day till the 1st of January, but there's a way that it offers a new start and a lot of excitement. But there are some of you that might be sitting here and you might not be experiencing glass clinking feelings of excitement at the start of a year. And for you, reflecting on the last 12 months might not be so enjoyable, especially if you've been through a difficult time in the last year. I've spoken to a few people here at the church who've had difficult years in 2022, and one of them even described 2022 to me as annus horribilis, a horrible year. Think about it. Globally, Russia invaded Ukraine, and there have been so many knock-on effects for us as a result of that. Even right here in our own country, not a month ago, we were on a knife edge waiting to see what would happen with the ANC's leadership race and who would likely be the next president of our country. And you can't tell me that you weren't standing around a braai in December or sitting around a table in December and discussing whether our country has a bright future or a bleak future. In 2022, the interest rates were high, fuel prices went up, and all of us are feeling a little squeezed by the cost of living. Even right here at BBC, at the church, we've been through a lot of change in 2022. And for you personally, you might have had a very difficult year in 2022. But God has been faithful to us in this journey of life and faith that we find ourselves on, and he's kept us through another year. And so here we are, the first Sunday in January, and we turn our attention to 2023. We're kicking off a new sermon series for the month of January called For the Journey. We'll be in the Psalms of Ascent, and in the book of Psalms, and particularly in a grouping of Psalms called the Psalms of Ascent. And this morning, we'll see from Psalm 121 why we can have hope for the journey of 2023. We'll see why we can have hope for the journey. The Psalms of Ascent are the Psalms that begin from Psalm number 120 all the way through 134. There are 15 Psalms, and these were songs that were sung by Jewish pilgrims as they would ascend towards the city of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was an elevated city set up on a hill, and every year for one of three annual religious festivals, they would go up in their family groups and they would sing these songs because these songs reminded them of what God had done for them. The songs focused their minds on what God had done for their nation. And in many ways, the annual pilgrimage that they undertook reminded the Israelites that spiritually speaking, they were pilgrims. And pilgrim people need to depend on God. And isn't it so similar for us here in the beginning of 2023? We are on a journey of life, a journey of faith. We are pilgrims of sort, and we need to depend on God. You see, we need hope for this journey that we're on. And the question that should be front of mind at the start of a new year is, where will this hope come from? Where will my hope come from? Shortly, we'll be in Psalm 121 and we'll read that it has a very clear answer for us about where our hope comes from. And it's in a very short little word, a word that appears 6 times in just these short 8 verses. It's a word that means to protect, to guard, to watch over. It's translated in our English Bibles as keep. And it carries the idea that God actively watches over, guards, looks after, keeps his people, and defends us against anything that would seek to do us harm. And so we'll see, we can have hope for the journey of 2023 because of the main thing we find in this psalm, that God is our protector and he will keep us. God is our protector and he will keep us. And so if you have your Bibles with you, turn with me to Psalm 121 or on your smartphones. The verses will also be up here behind me. Here's what these verses say. The psalm is called, "My Help Comes from the Lord." A song of ascent. I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore. Psalm 121 must be one of the most well-known psalms, and right at the beginning, we find a pilgrim, someone who would have been on this journey, and he's having a dialogue saying, "Where does my help come from?" I'm not sure if you noticed, but from verse 3, it's almost as if there's another voice that comes in and is speaking to him. Someone else enters the conversation because it moves from the first person to the third person. He says, he begins by saying, "I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come?" And then from verse 3, "He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber." It might be that this pilgrim, as he's on this journey, is having an internal dialogue, a conversation with himself, almost preaching a sermon to himself. Where does my help come from? Your help comes from God. We see that in the book of Psalms, but I think in this psalm, it's much more likely that there is an older, more seasoned pilgrim that is speaking to him here. I can almost picture this younger, more timid pilgrim on this journey towards Jerusalem, maybe feeling some fear, some anxiety, and wondering how he will get to his destination safely. He might know the answer in general, but he needs someone to come alongside him and reassure him that God is his keeper and that God is his protector. And so he begins by saying, "I lift my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? I lift my eyes to the hills." There's a few ways that we can interpret that when he says, "I lift my eyes to the hills." This pilgrim might be saying that as he journeys towards Jerusalem, he would have been surrounded by hills and mountains. And as these mountains surround him, so God surrounds him. And that's the thing that brings him comfort for his journey. He might have been saying that he knows Jerusalem is set on a hill and God's presence is in Jerusalem. And that's the thing that gives him comfort and hope as he goes along. He might even be saying, as he looks at the mountains, as he looks up at the hills, they remind him of the one who created those mountains. And that's the thing that gives him comfort. I think, though, it's much more likely that as he's looking up at the hills, this pilgrim is reminded of the dangers he faces on his journey. He's reminded that on this journey that he's on, he will need help. The chain of mountains that runs north to south down the middle of Israel would have posed serious dangers to travelers like this. Threats like dangers such as wild animals, dangers like robbers and bandits. Think about the parable of the Good Samaritan, where a traveler was beaten to within an inch of his life. They would have faced pilgrims, these travelers would have faced the harsh sun by day, and they would have faced various perils at night, as we see in verse 6. But as he was going along and looking up at the mountains and the dangers that he faces, there was a threat to him, a threat to God's people that was even more serious than wild animals, a threat that was even more serious than bandits and robbers or the weather. That's the fact that the mountains or the high places were centers for pagan religion. As you read the Old Testament, you see the nations surrounding Israel, they went up to worship their false gods on the high places, on the mountains, and God's people were also tempted, and sometimes they fell and also went up and worshiped on the high places. So as this pilgrim goes along, he says, I lift my eyes to the hills. He's considering the physical and the spiritual dangers that await him on this journey. Right here at the beginning of the psalm, he must decide, where will he turn to for help? In many ways, we're at the start of a new year, and we should ask ourselves that same question. On this journey of life that we're on, where will we ultimately turn to for help? Where will we turn to when things get difficult, if things get difficult during 2023? Reflect on that for a moment. Reflect perhaps to some of the places that you are inclined to turn for help when things get difficult. Do you turn to God as your source of ultimate help when things get tough? Or do you turn to other things? Do you turn to other people? I know in my experience, just in the brokenness of my sin, way too often I turn to things other than God to help me. I turn to people. And I found that those things always leave me feeling emptier. They always leave me feeling more disappointed afterwards. They might help for an instant, but afterwards I still find myself needing help. From where does my help come? It's almost as if the psalmist was considering alternative answers. Maybe some of those false gods. You might consider alternative answers. Where does my help come from? But Psalm 121 almost immediately gives us an answer, as if to say there are no real alternatives. There's only one place where true help can come from. He says, "My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." This psalm reminds us that we should turn to God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, for help when things get difficult. We should turn to him as our protector when things get difficult, because as we'll see when we go through the rest of the verses, his protection, God's protection is constant, and God's protection is complete. His protection is constant, his protection is complete. And so read with me first from verse 3, and we'll see how God's protection is constant. Verse 3 says, "He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep." I'm not sure what your New Year's Eve, this most recent New Year's, looked like. For me, I cannot remember when last I've stayed up past midnight on New Year's Eve. It's something that just lost its appeal to me along the way. Maybe those of you who are over 35 will relate with me. A person who doesn't relate with me in that is my wife. She would love to be up till all hours of the morning celebrating the new year. And so you might have been at home like me, and maybe you wanted to stay awake. You're sitting in front of the TV watching a show, but your eyes start to get a little bit heavy, your head starts nodding off, and eventually you find yourself asleep. Now, I sincerely hope that that's not happening to you this morning. And so if you're not awake, now is the time to wake up. The point, though, is that as humans, we get tired, don't we? We need to sleep. But this text tells us our God, he who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Our God never sleeps. And what's quite interesting is what the writer here is doing, if you dig a little bit deeper. He's contrasting God, the one true God, creator of the heavens and earth, he's contrasting God with those false gods who are on their high places, on the mountains, because ancient Near Eastern literature tells us that those gods were said to go to sleep. But our God, the psalmist says, never sleeps. God's protection is constant. He is never off of the clock. And so he's never not listening to our cries for help. When our feet slip, as we experience misfortunes in this journey of life, with all of its ups and downs, God keeps us 24/7. God's protection is constant. But we see not only is God's protection constant, his protection is also complete. Read with me at verse 5. It says, "The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and you're coming in from this time forth and forevermore." What the psalmist is saying here, even if it's in a figurative way, is that there is nothing in the day, there is nothing in the night. It's an all-encompassing statement. There's nothing in the day or the night that can ultimately harm God's people. And when he says God will protect your going out and your coming in, he's speaking about the everyday details of life. Even those mundane things, like when you bump your car. And that might be news to you, that God is concerned about the details of your life. And you might feel that going to God, the one true creator God, with the problems in your life, even in the small things, might feel like the late biblical author Eugene Peterson said, like going to a famous surgeon and asking him to put a plaster on a scratch that you have, or asking him to put iodine on a scratch that you might have. But it's not. You see that the God, and this is what Psalm 121 tells us, the God who brought light out of darkness, the God who parted the Red Sea so that his people could walk through it on dry land, the God who conquered death, that God is concerned about the everyday details of your life. God's protection is all-encompassing of all of life. His protection is complete. And so that's an encouragement that we can take from this text today, from Psalm 121, that God is our protector. He will keep us. That protection is constant. That protection is complete. But something that as Christians, we sometimes might have difficulty accepting, or a reality that is hard for us to accept, is that difficult times, hard things, suffering will befall even those who look to God as our protector. Here's how Eugene Peterson said it, a book he wrote called A Long Obedience in the Same Direction. It's a reflection on the Psalms of Ascent. And if you haven't read it, I would highly recommend putting it onto your reading list for this year. Here's what Eugene Peterson said. The Christian life is not a quiet escape to a garden where we can walk and talk uninterruptedly with our Lord, nor a fantasy trip to a heavenly city where we can compare blue ribbons and gold medals with others who have made it to the winner's circle. The Christian life is going to God. In going to God, Christians travel the same ground that everyone else walks on, breathe the same air, drink the same water, shop in the same stores, read the same newspapers, are citizens under the same governments, pay the same prices for groceries and gasoline, fear the same dangers, are subject to the same pressures, get the same distresses, are buried in the same ground. And so we don't have to look very far, even this early in 2023, to know that as the people of God, it is very possible that we might face difficult times in the year that is to come. When we walk out of here, I promise you, petrol prices will still be high. Interest rates are still going to be high. And many of you might know the thing called January. Many people wonder how they will make ends meet this month, how they will get by after spending all their money in December. For many of you, you would have had a great Christmas, a wonderful Christmas with family, and we praise God for that. But for some of you, Christmas might have been a painful reminder of a loved one that you've lost. And now you're reminded that you have to spend another whole year without that person. Christmas might have been a reminder for you of painful family relationships, strained or broken relationships in your family. Christmas might have been a reminder for you that your family is no longer here. Maybe they've immigrated, maybe they've gone somewhere, and you didn't get to spend Christmas with your family, and you missed them. We don't have to look very far to know in 2023 that things will still be difficult. There are many marriages that are in trouble, and that 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, Happy New Year doesn't magically fix a relationship that's on the rocks between two sinners who so often hurt one another. If you're a parent here this morning, you will know that parenting is tough, especially in the day and age that we live in. And you might be sitting here wondering where you will get strength from to bring your kids up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord in 2023. Or perhaps you are here and you are just exhausted from dealing with your own heart issues, your own fears, your own anxieties for what's to come, your anger, your pride, your lust, maybe even your loneliness. Your Christianity, your relationship with God at the moment might just feel like an uphill duty. Maybe you've had to drag yourself here this morning. Maybe you know you'll have to drag yourself to a small group during the week. It's the second half of the quote from Eugene Peterson, reflecting on the Psalm 121, that reminds us as the people of God why we can have hope for the journey in 2023. Here's what Eugene Peterson had to say. The difference for us as people of God, even though we face suffering, the difference is each step we walk, each breath we breathe, we know we are preserved by God. We know we are accompanied by God. We know we are ruled by God. And therefore, no matter what doubts we endure or what accidents we experience, the Lord will preserve us from evil. He will keep your life. And that's the whole point of Psalm 121. Not that as the people of God, we won't face difficult times, we won't have problems, but as we do, we believe in and have hope in the fact that God is our protector and that he will keep us through those things. Because there is nothing that can happen to the people of God that doesn't first pass through God's hand. There is nothing that will stop or thwart the plans that God has for his people. And we rest in the fact that ultimately he will bring us home to glory. And so we ask, where does our help come from? It's clear in the psalm, our help comes from the Lord. Now for me, that is That's one of the most encouraging messages or most encouraging things that I can read about or hear about at the start of a new year. My hope for this next year, for 2023, won't come from things. My hope won't come from people. And you know where else my hope won't come from? It won't come from myself. My own striving, my own hard work, my own discipline in having to keep my New Year's resolutions. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, that is something so liberating. That is so freeing from the pressure that can sometimes accompany a new year. God has already worked on your behalf. God is your protector. God keeps you. And his protection is constant. His protection is complete. And that offer is there before we even have to do a single thing. And isn't there such hope for us in that fact, for this journey of life that we find ourselves on? Listen to these words from the Apostle Paul in Romans 8. Here's what he said, also speaking about God as our protector, God who keeps us. I'm reading chapter 8, verses 38. This is what Paul said. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. When Paul said that there is nothing that can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord, he wasn't closing his eyes or blocking his ears to the problems that the people of God face. In fact, he was doing the opposite. He was welcoming those things because he knows that not even one of them could ever succeed in removing from us God's love in Christ Jesus. That promise of God as our protector, the promise of God going before us into this new year, that promise is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Because of God's great love for us in Christ Jesus, we know we can never be separated from his presence. We can never be separated from his love, no matter what we might face on this journey in 2023. And so we can be pilgrims on this journey of life, pilgrims on this journey of faith, knowing that Christ Jesus, who died to save us, is our protector, and he will keep us. And so this morning, as I close, I'm not sure where you are today. I'm not sure if you're one of those people who are very, very excited for the new year. You might be someone who has set 500 New Year's resolutions. You have a to-do list for each of them and you've already achieved 300. You might be that person who's sitting here this morning and you're not sure how you're gonna find the drive tomorrow morning to get out of bed and go to work. And you might be somewhere in between that scale. Well, these people, these pilgrims, these people of God, who would have gone up to Jerusalem singing these songs, they would have come over mountain passes. They would have traveled for a long time. They would have been fatigued from the journey, a very long journey. Their kids were probably complaining along the way. Their muscles would have been sore. Their feet would have been sore. But I could almost picture as they came to the end of their journey, as they came over that one last rise, suddenly they caught a glimpse of Judah, the hills of Judah, and Jerusalem in the distance. And as they did, their hearts lifted. And they began to sing, and they sang out, "The Lord is my help, my protector. He will keep me." And so this morning, I pray that Psalm 121 would be just that for you. That you would have caught a glimpse of your hope in Christ Jesus in this psalm. As you've heard me, as you go away and you reflect on it, as you even memorize this psalm, would you have caught a glimpse of your hope? And as we hold on to that hope in Jesus Christ as our protector for 2023, would this be the cry of our hearts? The Lord is my protector, and he will keep me. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father God, we are so thankful for this truth that your word speaks about, that there is nothing that we will encounter in 2023. There is nothing that we will come against, Father God, that would ever be able to separate us from your love for us in Christ Jesus, who died on the cross to save us from our sins. Father, in that truth, we can go out into the new year and experience many things. Father God, I pray for blessings for these people, this church. I pray that we would experience good things, Father God, but should difficult times befall us, Father, we know that you are with us every single step of the way, and ultimately you will bring us home to glory. Father, this morning we rest in the goodness of God, the God who keeps us, the God who is our hope, our living hope. And the people of God said, Amen.